My name is Catherine Lauber. I'm relatively new to Ottawa, and I just wanted to stand up. I hate being seen in public. And I just wanted to back up something that Heidi said and drive it home. It could be anybody, just because, and it's not me, frankly. I'm very well off, thank you. But I'm very well off because my parents were union members and socialists, and their parents were union members and socialists. And I'm appalled at what my generation has given away. That's basically why I'm here. But just talking to union members and socialists isn't going to do it. You have to reach the other people like me and let them know that it's going to be them next. Please. Because otherwise, it's just you on the news again, you know, and the news says their thing, and all those people in their fancy little houses in Sandy Hill, where John and I met, saying, oh, well, but it's not, doesn't affect me. I've got my house, I've got my pension, everything's just fine, thank you. Those are people I don't see. You have to let them know it is them. So once you're organized, don't just talk to yourselves. Talk
people who don't want to hear you. Thank you very much. Hi, my name is Brian McDougall. I'm one of the members of OCAT. And I just wanted to encourage people here to get involved in OCAT. Heidi has mentioned some of the stuff that we're involved in at the moment. We will be organizing a benefit. We have the upcoming tour of Rockcliffe, and we will be going to Toronto. But it's very important to mention that by the end of the month of October, we want to have an action here in Ottawa, which is geared towards disrupting the economy. We haven't made our decisions about what that action will entail. And there are important discussions that are going to be had in the next couple of weeks at our meetings about what we're going to target and how we're going to carry that out. And frankly, we need all of you to be involved. We can't carry out the kind of action that is going to help to snowball a movement with just a small number of people. We need dozens and hundreds of people in the early stages of this campaign to get the thing on the go. So I want to really encourage you, this thing doesn't work. I want to really encourage you to come out to our general meetings. Heidi mentioned that. The next one will be 1 week from tonight, Wednesday at 8 o'clock at the McNabb Community Center. There are other ways that you can get involved. We've already organized some committees that are doing a number of things. So please feel free to speak to Heidi, to John, to people at the table outside about how you can get involved. We desperately need your participation, and the sooner the better. Thanks.
Just wanted to say a few words. I was so delighted to hear Sid talk about the coalition that the OFL has got involved in. And we can't underestimate that this is a common front. We're dealing with environment groups. We're dealing with labor. We're dealing with all the kind of people that we see every day, and we have to promote this idea. But I just wanted to mention something that was alluded to earlier. It was a very important litmus test. I mean, we talked about the ECOS poll, etc. That's very important. But the most important litmus test might be the WWF. This was when the emperor arrived with his to show off his new wrestling duds. And of course, the emperor only shows up at very selected events, as carefully selected by his handlers. But when that emperor showed up, he was completely naked except for his black hat. And nobody fooled those WWF crowd. We sometimes have strange bedfellows in this labor movement and in our common front. Let's join with the WWF and see this guy with the black hat. QP's been pointing it out for 10 years. This guy is the villain. We gotta hit home, we gotta hit him hard, and hit him any way we can. We gotta storm the Bastille, we gotta do it. And if the WWF crowd recognizes Paris as the villain, then surely our friends and our families can recognize them as well. So let's, we have to sell this project. We have to make it palatable to our members, to our friends, and that's the way to do it. Thank you.
somebody was already mentioning people about evictions. I don't know who that was, but can somebody, doesn't necessarily have to be that person, can somebody tell me why they were being evicted? I mean, it's not like evictions should never occur, but maybe there shouldn't be occurring for the reason there, but what are the reasons that they were being evicted?
Over 80% are economic evictions.
Over 80% of the 60,000 evictions in this province are what we call economic evictions. It's where people fall into arrears. And the families we talk to are often participants in the labor market, actually the majority of them, but their hours have been reduced. They got sick for 2 weeks. They had a child die. I mean, the reasons are phenomenal, but over 80% are what we call economic evictions. And you only have 5 days in which to respond in writing if you want to contest the eviction or you're ordered evicted.
I'm just a member of the public. I came out to the Labor Day presentation. I try and make it to Labor Day every day, so I'm a token person, but I'll try and take up the point made by the lady over there. How do you talk to people who don't want to hear you? I don't know whether these ideas are worth anything, but I'll throw them in anyway. I know all of you have different vocations, and I know what I'm going to say is not your vocation. Maybe it's tactical advice. Tell people who you are, where you came from, and why you're trying to do the things you're doing. People relate to people generally better than to ideas or causes. That's just as a lead up. I'm not trying to say don't tell them what you're trying to do here, but people will relate to people more easily at the front. I think of the media here too. Somebody made a point on mainstream media. Second, the world's getting smaller. I call it globalization. I've got a different view of that, but we're all having to live together in a smaller world, and we're having to live together, and I think I yet make a simple point that my neighbor's welfare is ultimately my own. That people are getting poorer, incomes are shrinking. That doesn't help anybody anywhere except the unenlightened few that enjoy that as a way of life. So I think that's a very simple point you can make that gets right to the heart of people. Third thing, talk about history. People are much more comfortable with what went wrong 30, 40 years ago, the struggles to correct it, and hey, that didn't turn the world inside out and it didn't collapse. These struggles really did result in something. That point's been made several times. And put in historical terms, I think the general public can digest that a little bit better. Again, I'm not saying change your tactics, that's your call. But if you manage to put this in a historical context, you might make some alliances. An unrelated point, is it Heidi, the last speaker? I think you talked about the legal regime being so important to people's welfare and the advancing of low or working people's interests. I must admit I have other views. I think there are other factors out there. I'm sure people would admit it. Well, if you're talking about defeating the regime currently in the province, I'm not too well up on provincial affairs. I work for the federal government, just tell you who I am. Sometime, someplace, maybe now or maybe some other time, what's your legislative agenda? Once you got this job done, which political party out there would be the most attractive? I think, Sid, you made some reference to that. So if there's any interest in that question here, I'd be interested. Once you got the job done, where do you go next? Sorry, it's a long question.
I'll try and respond to that as quickly as I can and let other people respond, because I'm sure there's many who want to in the audience. First of all, I think you raise a really important point about the sort of level of comfortability and the sort of assumption that there's this level of comfort. And who are we talking about when we say there's a level of comfort? I think it's, not everybody. And I think the vast majority are living less comfortably more and more. I think that comfortability is really linked to our consumer culture, right? That we have all of these choices. And what are our choices now? McDonald's, Burger King. The Gap, Banana Republic. How happy are people? How fulfilled are they really when women are working a double workload? They work all day and they come home and they work in the home. families are spending less and less time together. You know, so I think we need to be even critical about those assumptions. Yeah, and in terms of which party, I think the jury's still out. John Clark for premier, for sure. but I think
he's twitching here.
I think we need to be leery about any of the ruling parties or any of the dominant parties who get all the airplay. And I don't think we have any absolute answers about what's going to happen. And that's the nature of struggle, and that's the nature of social movements. And I think the movements, you know, of, you know, was it, you know, even if it's the Winnipeg General Strike or the 1930s, nobody could predict what would happen. But people took the risk, they were courageous, and they fought, and they did what they needed to do. And we can thank them for that level of comfortability you were talking about today. So.
Just to take a quick shot at us, because the question has arisen, I guess, twice now about how do we appeal to people on a broader based level. The labor movement, we represent approximately one-third of the workforce in Ontario. There's 4.5 million workers in the province, and we represent about 1.2 million of them. We believe that's the best place to reach out in a broad-based way. We have access to those members in our workplaces, and if we can develop campaigns that speaks to our members in those workplaces, and by the way, they come from all walks of life, from people who earn marginally above minimum wage to people who work in nuclear power plants earning $100,000 a year. So we reach across all of the political spectrum and all across the economic spectrum in terms of the makeup of our membership. I'm not just talking about CUPE here, I'm talking about all of the union movements. So we have an opportunity, first and foremost, to reach them in their workplaces. Once we get that group mobilized, and that is a huge population when you consider their friends and their family members in terms of voting power, it's a huge voting block. Because at the end of the day, no matter which campaign we engage in, no matter whether it's, you know, the economic disruption campaign or the labor movement trying to mobilize its members into, you know, economic disruption at the bargaining table, if you will, because to me, the best form of direct action and economic disruption is collective bargaining, and where you interface with your employer. You know, we've been engaged in direct action since 1880, and now we've been having strikes and successful strikes. So it's just a matter of going back to that and becoming, I believe, to be more militant at the table. And now that you've got the Premier handing us, you know, a golden opportunity in many respects when he supports a 25% wage increase for politicians and turns around and tells ordinary workers that you've got to be stuck with 1.9% of an increase, that to me is a great mobilizing tool, and that's when we can reach out. So that, I believe, is the first step for us. The question around where do we go in terms of our political support, the left is in a state of flux, just like the right is in a state of flux in this country right now. And I believe the jury is out. There's a national convention of the NDP taking place in November, and there are four or five different scenarios out there. People promoting the Tony Blair third way to an NPI proposal, which is taking the party more further to the left. And then there are those who like to keep it just the way it is. And I'm not so sure which of those three groups is going to win out. But regardless, to me what's important is that we spark a debate in this province and in Canada about where should the left be going. Because I don't believe that any of the processes we have in place right now are actually addressing that concern in a meaningful way. I bet you, and there's 100 people in this room here tonight, I'll be shocked if there's a half a dozen people in this room have been engaged in a meaningful way in that discussion or in that debate. In other words, have they been consulted by the NDP? I doubt it. Even though they've got forums all over the place, they're not reaching out to ordinary working people, and therefore they're not going to get this wealth of knowledge and this wealth of energy and this wealth of information and this wealth of voting power. They're not reaching it. So I'm like hiding in this particular question. I think it's too early in the day to be saying we're going to go to any particular party. And I say this having been a candidate for the NDP in the last election in Ontario. So, you know, my heart is with the NDP, but I'm not convinced that they have matured to the point that they can address the concerns that have been addressed, that's been raised in this room.
Hello? Okay, I have an important announcement to make. I had it right in my bag. Okay, there's going to be on the Hill a National Capital Leaders Levy on Friday, September the 14th. Okay, and it's going to be for unwaged people, it's $20 to go, and for others, it's $50. And you get to meet Alexa McDonough and Howard Hampton. Okay, and it'd be great if John could go, John Clark, and people from OCAP, and we can go meet these leaders and tell them about OCAP, tell them about October 16th, tell them about the social disruption plan, program. Okay, this is great. I just had this in my bag and I just realized, you know, okay. Super. Okay, so yeah, if you want more information, come to me or call Peter Attack. ATAC. Sorry, call Peter ATAC. Okay, 236, I know you love my comedy skin here, 236-4904. Okay, if you want to meet Alexa McDonough and Howard Hampton, if you want to meet them on Friday the 14th, and you can beg poverty and get in for $20 to meet them and tell them all about OCAP and tell them all about October 16th. And it'd be great if John Clark could go. Thank you.
Actually, was anyone new who wanted to speak? Because I guess we're going to a second. Let's see anyone.
Yeah, just very briefly, because it's. I realize it's not really directly related to OCAP and the struggle. But what I wanted to say is that part of this, the issue of where people are, where to go, where to reach to get new ideas, to get re-energized, etc. Part of the issue is also the one of, are we going to maybe give proportional representation a shot? I'm not saying to, you know, have it as a standard for the next millennia, but are we going to give proportional representation a shot so that new parties can then have a chance in Parliament to express their ideas, because we are really almost hemorrhaged when it comes to new ideas right now. So anyhow, that's, I just want to throw that out, blowing on it.
Make a minor announcement tomorrow. Tables 1, 2, 3, and 5 of the PSAC will be on the line tomorrow, so if you want to help out your PSAC member, hit the line and help them out. Show some support on the line.
I just want to ask, I think more specifically John Clark, or perhaps, so I don't remember your name, the president of CUPE, as well, how to reach out to sort of looking around the room, more diverse communities and things like this, because and people who don't necessarily have access to just, I guess, services, or who have more difficulty accessing services, like because of language barriers or stuff like this, or physical ability and things as well. And yeah, that was my question. Also, I think $20 for me is about, I think, at least half, if not two-thirds of my food budget each week, so it's kind of quite pricey for something to talk to leaders, I think. But that's just my own personal view.